From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You see, the love that I said to my wife at the altar, honey, I love you, back 40 years ago, and now the same phrase, I love you, it's a whole different love. After 40 years, all of the things that we have gone through, all of the mountains we've had to climb, and we've survived three aggressively hostile children. The love of a romantic evening is nice, but it's not enough to sustain a marriage when you will face the darkest of nights.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We've all heard the expression, falling in love. Boy meets girl, and it's love at first sight. But often, no sooner do they fall in love than they fall right back out of it. So what is it that went so wrong so quickly? Could it be that we have a faulty definition of love? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Love Gone Bad.
Well, let's take out our notes as we talk about love gone bad. Love gone bad. You know, we want to talk about this because although God has given each of us a measure of love, often our love has to grow up. Our love has to grow up. You see, a love of a junior high kid and a love of someone that's down the road facing some impending obstacles and yet remaining faithful to his family, they're both called love, but one has to grow up a whole lot more. Otherwise, this will go bad. Love gone bad. And we'll talk about that. I think you can, here's a test for you to see how accurate you are in your musical knowledge. I'd like you to finish these tunes, romantic tunes, about love. So here it is. What the world needs now. Very good. For extra credit, who wrote that? Burt Bacharach. All right. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. How's this one? Finish this one. All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All you need is love. Good. Your melody's bad, but you got it. You got it. All right. For extra credit, who wrote that one? Yeah, the Beatles. I just called to say I love you. And I love you from the of my heart. Good. And who wrote that one? Stevie Wonder. That's right. That's right. Love. Love can keep us together in any kind of weather. And who wrote that one? You guys are super old. I didn't even know that. But what is it that all of these authors have in common besides writing love songs? I'll tell you, they all ended in divorces. And some of them, Burt Bacharach, four. And yet we sing about love, but it's not a kind of quality of love that can sustain relationships. Did you know that you can display love but not really know love? You can sing about it, make millions of dollars off of it, but really not know love. Because love can go bad, as you can see. Love can go bad. Captain and Tennille was like the love story. Love will keep us together. And then they get a divorce. We've all seen love go bad, where a young man will say to a girl, I love you. 3 days later, I hate you. The boy will say to the girl, I'll go to the ends of the earth. 3 days later, she replies, when you get there, please stay there. Love goes bad. Why? Probably because of the way Americans define love. I mean, love is used so broadly now for everything. I love pizza. I love my cat. I love my dog. I love malasadas. I love the football team. I love video games. Oh, I love my wife too. It just is used for everything. And somewhere along the line, the definition of love loses its punch. But you'd think we as Americans would be far more advanced because of the education we have. And you know that, by the way, that per capita Americans like you, regardless of what you earn, you are seen by the world as per capita the richest people in the world. Americans are. Richest people in the world. So we should know better because we've got great education. But let's take a look at how we spend those riches. According to Business Week magazine, here last year, we spent $11 billion on what? On the theater, yeah, $11 billion. Another $11 billion we spent on music. To increase that by just a mere $1 billion, we spent $12 billion on video games. Think about it. Movies, music, video games. This will turn your stomach, even if you love dogs. $52 billion was spent on our pets last year. That's more than the national gross national product of some smaller countries. And here's one, this will make you interestingly hungry, $120 billion on fast food. Fast food. Now, the USA is comprised of only 4% of the world's population, just 4%. But we consume 40% of the world's resources. Why? Because big business is wanting us to be consumers, and the only way they see you is that you exist to consume their goods. That's it. And we do. We throw money like crazy at them. Why do you think they see us as consumers? And it goes right into the church. We come to church to be consumers. And the Lord is saying, no, we do church as a team. You're participators. Oh, really? But I'm just consuming. No. We're a part of this together. But we have to battle the definition that the world wants to give to us. And you must choose. You must choose what you'll do. This is crazy. Do you know that we have twice as many malls as we have schools? Consumerism. Since 1970, our advance in technology has grown faster than any nation in the world. Since 1970, technology in America has grown faster than any other country in the world. But since 1970, we are now 10 times more depressed and 40 times more violent than any other country in the world. We spend more on jewelry, shoes, makeup, and watches than we do on our children's education. So guess what now has taken or substituted as our primary teachers? Not our schools, it's our theaters. Entertainment has become our primary teachers, and what celebrities say, we believe. And if you hear something enough, even if it's a lie, you start to believe it. About love and how they present love and almost virginity is something to be ashamed of anymore. And it just creeps right into the church, into the schools. Immorality is no longer immorality. It's what the celebrities say and Hollywood says that becomes our primary teachers. Really? Really? No wonder love goes bad. Check out their lives. Is that what you want to be like? And we take it and it creeps into the church and we start to copy the world. When the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, very specifically, it says this. Let's read what it says. Go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Stop. Let who transform you? Not the world. God. Let him transform you. Go. Into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. But we mostly copy what we see in the movies and what the celebrities say, what they dress, how they act. If the celebrities say, this is no longer a circle, now we call it a square. Everybody got it? And so you see Kevin Costner, this is not a circle, it's a square. You say George Clooney, this is not a circle, this is a square. Angelina Jolie, this is not a circle, it's a square. Brad Pitt says with both pits, this is not a circle, it's a square. Pretty soon all of us say, no, this is not a circle, it's a square. Yeah, we just redefine everything. And we copy what we see in the movies and we believe it. I always talk in tongue-in-cheek about the Titanic movie that made $600 million gross receipts in the box offices in the U.S. alone. Over $1.1 billion when you take into account foreign rights. Over $1 billion for this one. Now, what's this movie about? Well, Kate Winslet, she plays this lady who's engaged to be married. To this other guy. Now, she and her fiancé get on the ship because they're going to get married, And within 3 days, she's in the back seat of a car having sex with a stranger she had not met before. And everybody goes, oh, how romantic, especially when she comes out on the bow of the ship. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That's how I know love goes on. And you think, wait a minute, that's not how love goes on. That's how love gets cut. But not a, we just throw money, $600 million at it. It's like, whoa, that's so cool. And we wonder why our love goes bad. Because we define it according to the world. And God says, don't copy the world. Don't. We do that all the time. And we creeps into the church and we wonder why, what's going on? And then you know what churches are doing now? They're rationalizing that, accepting it, and putting Christian labels on it. I'm thinking, what are you doing? God just specifically tells us. Two churches here in Honolulu just voted for immorality to come into the church. One said no, the other said yes, right down the street, to accept immorality into their leadership. It's like, what? What are you doing? And yet we were copying the world. That's it. And the world is now setting the standard. And if you don't comply to our standard, then shame on you, you bigots. You see, what's happening is it's switching, isn't it? And God just said, don't copy the world. Just please. Otherwise, your love will never grow up. It will grow mutated. It will grow toxic, but it won't grow up. And if we're going to walk into the inheritance that God has for this church and for your life, you're going to need a love that will sustain that stuff. Whether it's negative or positive, we have to have a tinsel strength of faith and love, that a love that will change the world. And he says, don't copy. There's a story that I heard. There's a Haole guy and this Portuguese guy. They wanted to be hired as a security officer, so they had to take this test. So the employer gives them both the same test, right? And says, take this test. Now, I got to tell you this, he said. Now, honesty is of utmost importance because you want to be a security officer. Honesty is of utmost importance. So they take the test. They turn the test in. They grade. The employer grades it, hands it back. They both got one wrong out of 10 questions. And they both got the same question wrong. But the boss hires the Haole guy instead of the Portuguese guy. And the Portuguese guy just rants and raves and says, wait a minute, we both get one wrong. We both get the same answer wrong, and you hire him and not me. Why? Well, the boss said, well, because it was number 5 that you guys got wrong. That's right, I know. He got it wrong. I got it wrong, and you hire him and not me. Why? He said, because he wrote on number 5, his answer was, I don't know, and yours said, neither do I. Copy. And the Bible is saying, don't copy the definitions of the world. You see, there's two ways to get to know God. Two ways, and I covered this a couple of weeks ago, but the first is this. You start with man and his ways, and you reason upwards. Well, you can't do that. If you start with man's definition of love or anything else, and then you try to reason God into it to see, God, is that pleasing to you? Can we fit you along with us? Because this is kind of what we want to start with. Can we fit God into it? It won't ever work. Because the Bible says, as is the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above yours. You can't reason upward to God. The second way, though, to know God is to start with God and what His Word says and accept it. And He will then show us the beauty of His principles and ways along the way. And so we've got to find out about love from the Word of God. So I want you to hear and see what He says about love. And so we're going to read the scripture together out loud out of 1 Corinthians 13. And let's read it out loud. Would you go? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This kind of love doesn't fail. Hollywood's love will. Immature love will. But here's the whole message. In order for us to gain or reach that kind of love that doesn't fail, your love and my love has to grow up. In order to reach or gain that kind of love that never fails, your love and my love has to grow up. See, that kind of love doesn't come in a package when you're born. The potential for love is there. But you've got to grow up. Oh, no, you know, some parents will say, my child loves me unconditionally. Look at this. No, your child doesn't love you unconditionally. Oh, yes, my child does. Look, no, wait for your kid to get 2 years old and try to take his toy away and see if he still loves you. Tell him to take a nap and see if he unconditionally loves you. No, the potential for love is there, but his love has to grow up. If it gets stuck in a junior high love and your love stops growing, by the time you get to the altar and say, I do, you have that kind of love, it will fail you. Love will go bad. You see, the love that I said to my wife at the altar, honey, I love you, back 40 years ago, and now the same phrase, I love you, it's a whole different love. Because after 40 years, all of the things that we have gone through, all of the mountains we've had to climb, and we've survived 3 aggressively hostile children. And so, love is so different now. The love of a romantic evening is nice, but it's not enough to sustain a marriage when you will face the darkest of nights. The love in a love song is nice, but it's not the same that will withstand the pain of when the music fades and you still must remain faithful. You understand? It's a whole different love. Even the love you expressed to God in the beginning when He blessed you, that love has to grow to be the love you need to have when God seems to take it all away. That's why in our devotions you're reading about Job in this next season. Job comes to the place where he can say this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's a pretty powerful love, don't you think? It's not a junior high love. It's not a nice romantic song love. It's a love that grew up. And God has so much of an inheritance for this church. Our love has to grow up in order to be able to sustain that. You as a businessman, God has success for you, but did you know that most men cannot survive success? It goes to your head. It destroys your family, your wife, your kids. One of the reasons why many men don't ever come into that fullness of financial success, etc., probably is because God knows it'll kill you. And so He says, your love has to grow up so that you'll have a broader love for your family to balance your life, your future, know when to say no, because not every opportunity comes from the throne. It can come from hell itself. And the devil knows if you get just a little more, you'll abandon God and everything else. So things have to grow up to be able to walk into your inheritance, you understand? So love has to grow. If not, then we stymie our future. You say, well, how do you build this kind of love? Let me give you 2 characteristics out of this portion of Scripture. And the first, remember this, love only grows when you choose to love. Would you write that in? Love only grows when you choose to love. Because love's not a feeling, it's an action, it's an act of choice. Love is an act of choice. Take a look at the characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember the first one, love is what? Patient. Patience. is do you just kind of fall into, like, I am just naturally patient with everybody, or is often patience a choice you must make? Yeah, love is kind. Is that just a nice feeling or a choice you must make? It's a choice, isn't it? Love doesn't get jealous. When you see something that you doubt, say, hey, what's going on here? In order to not be jealous, is that just a nice feeling or is that a choice you must make? Love doesn't boast and is not proud. It's a choice, isn't it? Can you see how love, all the characteristics of love, has to require a choice you make? It's not just nice romantic feelings. See, love only grows. Love can be expressed without choice. Oh, it's so nice. But when your love grows, it's going to require a choice that you make. Love only grows when you choose to love. Here's one: love does not dishonor. When your boss promises you something and the promise doesn't come to pass, and you'd like to have him for lunch in the cafeteria, talking to others about this injustice, and yet you stop and say, you know, I'm not going to do it. Because love says that you don't dishonor, regardless of whether or not you think they deserve it or not. Love just doesn't dishonor. Now, is that a feeling or a choice? Do you understand? Love only grows when you choose to love. And when you choose, love starts to grow. Love is not self-seeking or not easily angered. Something happens, you want to get angry, and you say, no, wait a minute. Just let it go. You made a choice. Is that a feeling? No, it's a choice. I shared with you how some time ago I hired a trainer, weight trainer, so that I will learn how to lift weights correctly. And he started off with the bench press, put the bar across, had me lay under, put a few weights on it, about 500 pounds or so. And bar was bending a little bit, but it didn't worry me. And so he said, we're going to do 14 reps. And so I picked it up, so I started pushing it up. So about the first 10 is fine. 11, it got a little heavy. 12, it got heavier. And on the 13th one, I couldn't get it off my chest, and I started vibrating. And I began to put out a 911 call for help. And he didn't just lift it up for me when he went to help. No, he couldn't have anyway. But he put a finger under there, and just enough to break the threshold of failure, my muscle failure, he just gave me enough to get over that hump. And as I'm pushing and I'm shaking, he looked at me and said, now you're building muscle. Now you're building muscle. What he was saying was, now because of that almost near failure rate on your muscle where it can't do it anymore, you're breaking down the old muscle tissue, and it's going to be replaced with new and bigger tissue. The first 11 or 12 was getting you prepared, but it was the 13th and the 14th rep when I could hardly do it and I had to push by choice and really make an effort. He said, those two reps, your 13th rep and your 14th rep, are the most important reps of this whole set. Because now you're building muscle. And I was thinking about that with love. When do we build love? Let's say you're in a bad mood. To get into a bad mood doesn't take a choice. It's just like, I'm mad because of what you did. But to get out of a bad mood, you have to make a choice. For the sake of relationship, you put your attitude aside and say, it's all right. Come on, you speak to yourself. It's all right. Come on, love instead. And it's almost like when you do that, right there, heaven, you'll hear heaven say, now you're building love. Now you're building love. Because you can have a junior high love and your love not grow because you make no choice about love. And when you get married and say, I do, it sounds very loving and romantic. But that love's not going to sustain the storms you're about to face. That's why 50% of marriages in America end in divorce, and that includes Christians. Why? Because we don't have love? No, because we don't realize that our love has to grow up to be able to sustain what God knows we're going to face, good, bad, and ugly.
You've been listening to a message entitled Love Gone Bad by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow we'll see that true love involves tough choices. The question is, are we willing to make those choices? We hope you'll join us for tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find many other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.